Football is finally back on the television. Just maybe not the football that you and I thought. Yes, right here in the studio, we have the U.S. of A., the men's national team going up against Bosnia. Well, not only Bosnia. They got to go up against Bosnia in a country I can't even pronounce. Just joking. But regardless, yes, we have soccer on the tube. Yes, we are watching what's going on. I will keep my eyes on it. But you and I have a lot of football that we have to discuss. There's a lot going on from LSU. And, you know, today I thought, should we go live a little bit earlier? I do hope the USA men's wins. If they get further in this World Cup, we won't be going live in more serious games. I promise you that. But I do hope, and we will have and monitor the USA team about 7 minutes in as we're currently live watching this game. But I digress. It is 0-0. We're sitting here talking about USA men's soccer. I guess technically you can say we have football on in July. Glad the World Cup's on. I'm always going to root for the USA team, and regardless of sport, I'm not even a hockey fan. Did it when they were trying to go for gold a couple of, months ago? 6, 7, 8, 9 months ago, whenever it was. Don't really know a lot about hockey, but I know that I love my country and that I'm going to cheer for them. We're going to do the same for this soccer team. But nevertheless, we're live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups if you're on Facebook by using that YouTube link. Do us a favor, man. We're still going through situations with our good friends, not really good friends, but our somewhat friends over at Facebook. So do us a favor. Take that YouTube link. Send it over to Facebook. Share to all those groups, all those social media pages. We greatly appreciate it. We probably will come back and do some live stuff on Facebook when the season starts. We're going to hold off there for now. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Subscribe down below if you're on YouTube, if you're on, if you're just listening to us on the audio podcast, or if you're watching us on Twitter, hit that retweet button. We greatly appreciate you doing that. Got lots that we're going to talk about tonight. You know, normally when the baseball season ends, you and I really start diving deep into this LSU football team and where it's going to go. Tonight, we're going to talk about people that I believe, players that I believe are going to be breakout players. We're going to go two on a defense, two on offense. You might even say, well, Blake, we know about these guys. We've talked about them a lot. Well, of course we have. You and I get to talk about LSU every single day. But I'll give you my justifications. And there are some guys that we're going to, like, I think of Ty Benefield being a breakout star. I kind of think that I'm past the whole, like, people should already know who Ty Benefield is. He's going to be a dude. I would throw him in there. But we're going to talk about two offensive and defensive players here. We'll talk a little bit about recruiting. Jay Nannen did not commit today. He's going to push it back. Says he wants a little bit more time to think. Everybody freaked out. Well, desperation breeds, not by Jay Nannen, but desperation breeds some really interesting things here when it comes to the Jaden ending recruitment. Just ask Frank Wilson. So we'll talk about a little bit of recruiting. Greedy James set to make his announcement tomorrow. I think a lot of us know where that one's leaning at the current moment. So we'll talk about that. And Davion Jones, South Carolina, making a big push late, getting Josh Jobson. Well, can they spend a lot of money to do that for Davion Jones? That will be the question. We will talk about that as well. I did want to start off tonight's show, though, by talking about this. You know, in the mornings, normally I'll go, you know, work out or whatever. Then, you know, maybe get a protein shake in and take a shower and then start getting to work. And I got to be real with y'all about something. You know, as this football is approaching or football season is approaching, there are so many things that have gone on that you and I have been talking about for quite a long time, LSU-Ole Miss rivalry. I saw this today, by the way, when I was getting into work and really starting the show and getting the show notes ready to go. I saw that Pete Thamel and ESPN already are doing previews for LSU-Ole Miss in week 3. And where I don't necessarily hate it, you know, they're talking about the animosity and the rivalry and all of these different things. Can we talk about Clemson? Can we talk about Louisville? I know in the dead heat of summer when we're talking about college football, guys, I do a national college football show. It's not sexy. during the month of July until August gets here. There's not a lot of sexiness going around in reference to hot topics, even though SEC Media Days is in about 2 weeks. Big 12 Media Days starts next week. We're almost there. Just give it a week. But why in the good wide world are we already previewing a week three game? Guys, the way that I look at this, like, I'm already starting to look into Clemson at a deep level. Like, as an example, do you have any idea what Chris Mancini is? Do you even know who that is? Like, I ask a lot of you who don't follow Clemson, do you know who Chris Mancini is? Because Vezina, I keep saying Vezina. Do you know who Chris Vezina is? Well, he very well could be their starting quarterback. Do you have any idea what their offensive line is like? Well, nobody really does. Because LSU has a massive P4 game against an ACC opponent week one, and we're already previewing week three. Now, as I start, and we're going to start in next week going through a lot of things, you know, today, this morning, I went back and watched a lot of LSU games, just kind of, you know, wanting to get my grasp up under me. We're really starting to get into that football mode. We're just really kind of going back and watching some of the guys that were returning from last year's team, not necessarily a lot on offense, actually hardly any on offense. You know, I was thinking about putting Tre'Davious Green on the breakout players, and even though I completely agree with that, I already think that Tre'Davious Green is a household name for what it's worth. People believe that he's going to be special because he is. Guys, I look at some of these LSU games, I look at Clemson, and I just say to myself, guys, we got to prepare for week one. You know, my whole rant here is about there's so much talk about recruiting. There's so much talk about Ole Miss. There's so much talk about LSU and can they make the playoff. Guys, you've got to be locked in and focused on week one, which is so ironic depending on how much of a heavy-hitting thing it was focused on last year under Brian Kelly about winning the week one game. Guys, it was all that we could talk about. It was the buildup. He was putting Clemson's memorabilia up in the weight room. And now people don't even really give a flying Rudy Poo about Clemson. People are like, Clemson sucks. We're going to beat the tar out of them. Where I do believe that's true, do you have any idea who their team is? Like, I ask you, before we talked about Chris Vezina, the quarterback for Clemson, did you have any idea who he was? Any idea? Now, where I think they got good wide receivers, I don't know what they're really going to do at running back. Don't really know what they're going to do in their front seven. I mean, health returns, but they got a lot that they have to replace there. In their interior defensive line, they were relying on Steph Green returning. Well, Steph Green's at LSU now. We need to lock in and focus in on Clemson. We need to lock in and focus in on the team. I'm kind of over this, like, previewing of LSU versus Ole Miss. Guys, we have two games before we get there. Now, will we get there? Yes. Well, at some point we talk about Ole Miss as we preview the season? Of course, you're going to have to. You know, I watched a lot of – you can ask my wife today. You know, she was here when I was watching in the office. Guys, I'm watching a lot of Ole Miss games from last year, just trying to familiarize myself, even at a deeper level, of who Lane and Charlie R is play callers, what they like to do on fourth down. And what's so nutso about that is you got to learn a lot about Ole Miss. We need to focus in on Clemson. I just think it's so much is getting missed to start the season. God forbid you go into Clemson week one, or Clemson comes to you week one and you blow them out. My goodness gracious. All right, let's move forward here. Everyone, do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups if you're on Facebook by using that YouTube link wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. All right, let's get to some comments. Frank gonna sub out a hot running back. Boy, doesn't he ever. Doesn't he ever. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Penn Jones is in the 256 headed to Destin, Florida. Yeah, you know, it's that time of year, man. Everybody going to the beach. Gotta love it. I love Crab Island. 30A, you gotta love it. Get Gooder with a $10 super chat says Blake is the breakout star. Go Tiger. Hashtag go Tigers. I hope so. I hope so. You know, what's interesting, Get Gooder, is all of these awards came out from Louisiana. You know, the Louisiana media. Your boy wasn't even nominated for any of them. Best podcast, best live shows. I mean, numbers don't really lie. Maybe I'm not a breakout star. Traditional media does not believe it. Even when you sign a massive CBS contract, no one really believes it. It is what it is. CMD says, let's freaking go from Denham Springs to 225. Good to have you in here with us as well. Fran, who is watching us over at Ruffino and Joe Show, says, yes, I'm following you around, Blake. Wait a sec. That sounds creepy. No, it's not creepy at all. I don't find it creepy whatsoever. Big man cheats anger's daddy. Boy on Twitter, let's go from the 901 in the house. That's a hell of a name there. That is a hell of a name. Boy, 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 boy. That is a hell of a name. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Stephen Young is in the Athens, Alabama, the 256. Good to have you in here with us as well. Corey Rogers in the 225 also. Or he's heading back from Destin, Pensacola. Watch out for the jellyfish. Them bastards got the entire family today. That's not good. That's not good. They got my son last year. They got Ben last year. They got Ben last year. That's not good at all. Prayers for your kids, man. Prayers for your kids. DJ says, nevertheless, we're alive. We are. He's in DA. Oh, we're live into 504. Okay. I misread that. But we're live in the 504. Good to have you with us. Yes, you're in the 985, the 225, the 337, 985, the 318, 31. Great. You're outside the state representing from inside the state. That name made me sleepy trying to read it. Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. I'm right there with you. Brandon Reese says, what's up, Blake? Besides the Clemson game, which home conference game are you looking forward to going to? Well, we do post games. I tell you all this every year. I don't really go to the games because we're going to be in here doing these post games. What game, what conference game at home? Probably Texas or Bama would be two that I think you got to circle. I think A&M is massive, man. Like, you got a lot of massive home games this year. I do think Clemson, like if LSU blows out Clemson, okay, LSU blows them out. They win week two. God forbid they beat Ole Miss. Here's why that A&M game could be monumental. Imagine a world where LSU beats Clemson, wins week two versus Louisiana Tech, and just for argument's sake, I know Ole Miss fans troll this show all the time, they somehow, some way find a way to beat Ole Miss. You go into that Texas A&M game, the boot in Death Valley is going to be shaken against Texas A&M. It is going, the foundation will shake at this place. So I like that would be a game that you circle and be like, if LSU is 3-0 in this, guys, come on. Like, come on. Come on. That game will be full throttle. It's going to be tough to do that, but you're asking me, like, if you're a one-loss team when you're going up against Texas, like, this place is going to be full throttle. Those are some games that I would definitely watch out for. Mikey, who has been a member for a while, says, Blake, when you came to Nashville, should have hollered at me. Drinks would have been on me. Yeah, man, I appreciate that. I turned my phone basically off because my wife was with me and we went on a workcation is what I call it. But Nashville was fun. Nashville was very fun. Very cool town. Some great Italian food. Palato. I don't know how you say it. Mamma mia, papa pia. Huh? these the subs there, the sandwiches. Brother, Nashville was fun. Really, really, really enjoyed it. It was a really, really fun time. All right, let's get moving here. When we come back, we'll talk about recruiting. We'll talk about some breakout players. Yes, USA is on the tube, so we'll monitor that throughout the show as well. Let's get to a quick break. We'll come right back. Stay with us.
He will sell your house and find you a new. Well, Tyler's the man. He's here for you. If you want to buy or sell, well, it's not too late. Dial 955-0008. Just call 955-0008. Y'all call Tyler, he'll shoot you straight.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Red Stick Financial. They're your local residential mortgage broker located right here in the heart of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At Red Stick Financial, they find the bank that works for your particular set of needs to purchase the home of your dreams or refinance the current one. They truly are your partners in this process, and they pride themselves in helping individuals and families with one simple goal in mind, and that is to make home financing approachable, attainable, and stress-free. They are licensed in all Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So from Amarillo to Meridian and everything in between, they have you covered. Red Stick Financial brings you creative, customized solutions, and they don't believe in the one-size-fits-all when it comes to loans. They even have special options for mobile and manufactured homes located in a flood zone and stated income financing for those of us who are self-employed borrowers. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, or simply want to know what options are out there for your future, give Red Stick Financial a call today at 225-407-9250. That's 225-407-9250. Or check them out online at redstickfinancial.com. That's redstickfinancial.com. Before you purchase the home of your dream or you go and do that refinance, you need to go local. Go Red. Guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over the Drake Williams Law Firm, drakewilliamslawfirm.com. If you've been injured in a car wreck or have questions about a personal injury claim, call the Drake Williams Law Firm today. Ernie Drake and Ryan Williams represent injury victims all across the great state of Louisiana. Serving Louisiana families since 1981, whether you're in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Shreveport, or the great parish of Tangipahoa, the Drake Williams Law Firm is ready to help. With local roots and statewide representation, give them a call right now. 985-386-7600. That's 985-386-7600. And when you do, you will get a free consultation. The Drake Williams Law Firm, where they've been serving Louisiana families since 1981.
We're back!
So it's that time of year when we start focusing in on who are going to be those players that, yes, maybe you and I have talked about a lot. We talk about a lot of LSU players a lot because it's the only team that we break down. But as football is fastly approaching, and now that we are getting into the month of July, and guys, SEC Media Days will be this month, and in about less than 30 days, or no, right around 30 days, you will really start pursuing and getting ready for fall camp, and then the real season starts. And this is my favorite time of year. Like, I love getting ready for the season. We have so much that we can discuss, so much that we can talk about. And one of my favorite segments is talking about players that mainly that we aren't talking about enough. Who are going to be those breakout stars, or potentially could be those breakout stars that, yes, that maybe we've discussed, maybe I've discussed a lot, that maybe is not getting the notoriety that we need to give to them. Now, when we talk about breakout players going into the 2026 season, I've talked a lot about Ty Benefield, the safety from Boise State who's transferred in. Guys, I think he's going to be a super stud. I think he is going to be so good. I should put him on this list. So if there's an asterisk by this segment, if there's an asterisk by us talking about breakout stars in 2026, Ty Benefield defensively would be on that list. I think he is going to do amazing things. I think he is an amazing player. Guys, I think he has the ability and the talent to be a first-team All-American. I think that he has the ability to play himself into a situation that he finds himself as a first-round talent. I think he will be that guy defensively. The opposite side of that, on the offensive side of the ball, guys, we talk so much about Tre'Davious Green. He finally has a coach, or coaches, a plural, when it comes to Charlie Weiss Jr. and Lane Kiffin that can put him in the right spots for him to be able to make plays and get open instead of just throwing fades to him like Joe Sloan did so many times a season ago. He is going to be put in the right position to make plays. So defensively, my asterisk would be breakout stars in 2026 for LSU. Ty Benefield for sure. Tre'Davious Green on offense for sure. I think that that's kind of as we've progressed since January. January, February, March, April, May, June, and now July, month 7 into this Lane Kiffin era. We've talked so much about those two. There are some other guys that you and I need to discuss. I want to start off on the defensive side of the football. Now, this young man that we're going to discuss tonight is someone that you and I have talked about a lot. But next week, we will start talking about Lane Kiffin offensively when they were at Ole Miss, what we should expect, going back and previewing last season, previewing this season, a lot like we did a season ago, building into the season that is going to be not so far away. But, you know, today I tweeted this out. It was around 8:30 a.m., 9 a.m. I forget the specific time. And I'm going back and I'm watching in the office here some of the games from last season. And in watching a lot of those games for LSU, even though it was so painful to watch. Like, guys, watching last season, at least on the offensive side of the football, was so painful to watch. But the defense really wasn't. And, you know, every single time that I looked up, there was always somebody making a play. You know, this young man that we are going to discuss, I felt as if got overshadowed, and I don't want to say for good reason, but kind of for good reason. Gus, P.J. Woodland had a hell of a year last year, and I fully believe that he has the potential to be that next corner that next year when the draft rolls around, you ask yourself, is he going to be a top two-round pick? Is he kind of cut from that greedy Williams mold where you see him and you're like, how in the good wide world is P.J. Woodland still on the board and then he goes and has a really good career? Last year, P.J. was overshadowed by Mansoor Delane. Every corner in the country was overshadowed by Mansoor Delane. It just so happened that P.J. Woodland was on the same team as him, and you were rotating three guys along the boundary. You know, when I was watching the LSU-Ole Miss game back again today, it was P.J. Woodland with the big interception along the sidelines. Now, he had a big pass interference that I thought was a little bit ticky-tack, if I'm being honest. But he had a massive interception along the sidelines a season ago to keep you in the game. Last season, P.J. Woodland had 9 PBUs as a non-starter. Guys, LSU placed two corners, and they rotated Mansoor Delane, P.J. Woodland, and Mansoor Delane really wasn't a rotational piece. He was on the field a lot, pretty much every time. Basically, a D.J. Pickett, P.J. Woodland level rotation. As a part-time, quote-unquote, starter, P.J. Woodland had 9 PBUs, one of the tops in the SEC. This guy can flat-out cover. And, you know, when we talk about LSU right now, D.J. Pickett is getting a lot of pub right now. He should. He's an amazing player. Ty Benefield, Tamarcus Cooley, Deshaun Spears are being talked about a lot. They should. The guy in the secondary for me that needs to be talked about more going into the season, and a guy that I fully believe that can be that next dude on the boundary, is P.J. Guys, he is as physical a boundary corner as you're going to find. You know, a lot of people talk about his size and his size being a problem. Go back and watch Clemson. Go back and watch Ole Miss. Go back and watch Alabama. Go back and watch Oklahoma. I mean, guys, he's all over the place, all the time, making plays. And even when plays are being made on him, he's fighting for the football and being very aggressive. He's being very competitive. My question with PJ is a simple one. What do you do now that you are in a situation where a full-time role is all yours? You know, Lane Kiffin has talked about the depth issues at corner. I don't think they're going to be rotating those him and DJ out a lot. PJ was the guy last year that I believe was the biggest riser on defense. We all knew that Mansoor Delane was very talented. We all had expectations of a number one corner coming out of high school, giving you a lot of solid reps in DJ Pickett, and he did. If I would have told you going into the season last year that PJ Woodley would have 40-plus tackles, a sack, by the way, on the first possession of the football game versus Clemson in the first overall game, if I would have told you that he would have had 9 pass breakups, if I would have told you that he would have been one of the more physical corners on the boundary, you'd have been like, well, man, Corey Raymond really coached him up. Well, he did. Guys, I think PJ, who has kind of put his head down, and people around the country are not talking about, you know, I go on these national shows and they're talking about Aiden Andine and the Aiden Andine injury and him constituting him as a starter. He wasn't a starter. Would have played, but he wasn't a starter. You know, every single time nationally when we talk about, or at least when I talk about this defense, and people are asking me questions about Princewill Umamyelen, who had his breakout year last year, or DJ Pickett, or what's this stuff going on about a guy named Ty Benefield? Those are the questions that keep being resonated. And, you know, I go back and I'm sitting here and I'm watching the games over and over again from last season, and all I just keep saying throughout the day was, PJ just keeps making plays. Now the question becomes is, can he take that next step? I thought he had a great spring. I thought he put on some weight. The real question will be, if he takes that next step, is he going to be that next guy at corner that we look up and say, hey, man, he's cut from that LSU DB cloth? Will be the question. The second guy, you know, talking about the defensive side of the football and potential breakout players for LSU going into the season next year. I watched a lot of Ole Miss today as well, just kind of getting familiarized with more of who Charlie and Lane are. You know, who are they really? How many times were they going for it on fourth down? What were they calling on third down before they ran it on fourth? What kind of plays were they running on fourth down? Which, by the way, some of the most creative stuff of all time. And I look at them offensively, and obviously when I'm watching these games today, whether it was the Georgia game, which I thought was the game one was a very fun game, and I'm watching Devin Harper line up in the backfield. By the way, sidebar, did you know that Devin Harper lined up in the backfield multiple times versus Georgia in the red zone, game one, and was blowing people flat up? Go watch that Georgia game in game one. Absolutely demolished dudes on the end line of scrimmage. Good for Devin Harper. And I think it was Florida too. The Florida game he got in and was running dudes flat over for Kawan Lacy and him scoring. Really, really fun to watch. But as I'm watching those Ole Miss games a season ago, and you have to watch the defense, at least I'm watching defense because I want to see Princewill. I want to see TJ Dottery. Just want to see some of the guys that you brought over. The thing that I noticed a lot watching them in the beginning of the season today to the end of the season, man, Princewill Umamyelen got double teamed a lot. A lot. As his season continued to get better, as he continued to create tons and tons of havoc, it was interesting to me to see that the other guys at edge really started to take hold. It really was interesting to me that when so much emphasis was being put on Princewill, that Cam Franklin had a really good showing in multiple games throughout the playoffs. And then when they started to try to take away Cam Franklin, did teams, Well, then Prince Will started getting his again, and people were like, yeah, we just can't let Prince Will beat us. I think that second guy defensively that I think that has the potential to be a breakout player is Jordan Ross. The five-star defensive end, the five-star edge guy from Tennessee, who last couple of seasons, really, but last season, as an example at Tennessee, look, he was okay, right? Like, he didn't have massive, massive numbers. He had 23 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, and a sack and a half. But he has all of the traits and the ability. You know, the last time that we saw a guy that had a lot of talent, was a very good player that was just scratching the surface at the edge, was actually the other guy on the opposite side of him in Prince Will, leaving Nebraska, coming to Ole Miss, having a massive season. So the question I was asking to myself today, if teams already last year were focusing so much and so hard of trying to take away Prince Will, does that give Jordan Ross the ability to do something really good and really special? Guys, he's got all of the ability in the world. Now, I do worry about him at times in the run game. There were times this spring where I thought Weston Davis, when he got his big paws on him, Jordan had a time on his hands. But whether it was Jordan Seaton, whether it was Weston Davis, whether they did twists and stunts up front and it was a lot of ball, Braylon Moore, because they were doing a lot of unique stuff, he was a problem for everybody. Now, I think Jordan Seaton's one of the better left tackles in the game. And yes, he gave Weston Davis issues. He gave Jordan Seaton a lot of issues too. So it would be one thing if Weston Davis struggled and we're like, yeah, well, Weston struggled against a lot of people a lot last year. What about Jordan Seaton, who was the number one tackle in transfer portal, top five player in the portal with a lot of special players? I think that teams are going to try to take away Prince Will, and they're going to force Jordan Ross to be the guy that makes an impact, a lot like what teams did with Cam Franklin at Ole Miss a season ago. He's 6'4", 6'5", 250 pounds, and can fly, can run like a deer. He's well put together. I just wonder if Sterling Lucas, who has shown the ability to be able to get guys developed at a high level, if he's not that second guy that takes that next step and is a breakout star. Now, hear me and hear me well. Sterling Lucas has had one guy per season, opposite of Dylan Stewart, that has gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Kyle Kennard was one. Brian Thomas Jr., not the wide receiver, was the other. And I just asked myself the question, you have a really and truthfully, I should go even deeper than that. You have about a 3 to 4 year window of Sterling Lucas being in the SEC or being a specialist for the Baltimore Ravens, where the guys that he's coaching have had massive years. And it's why that he comes to a place like LSU and is very well regarded. Look at what he's doing in recruiting. Because guys know that when they're going to get paid and they're going to get developed by one of the best. Look what he did with Dylan Stewart. Look what he did with Kyle Kennard. Look what he did with Brian Thomas Jr. They are massive, highly impact guys. Did Sterling Lucas hit on that again with Jordan Ross? That's my question. Because he's already done it in the SEC. He's already shown, has Sterling Lucas, that he can go into the portal and bring in an SEC guy who, by the way, led the SEC in sacks. He already showed that he can bring in a guy from high school recruiting that's a super freak in Dylan Stewart. He's already shown that he can have a guy that's already on a roster, develop them, and make them into something special. Ask Brian Thomas Jr. I think that when I look at this, it is Jordan Ross that's going to be that guy defensively that I think that is poised to have a breakout year. Offensively, I feel like that we've talked about these two guys a lot. A lot. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. I go to the wide receiver position. There are so many players that we can pick up on. Like, I think Winnie Watkins, as an example. I think Harlan Berry. I think Tre'Davious Green. I think all have the ability to be massive superstars and breakout players. I think you have a lot of talent. And I think that that's where I start getting really excited. Winnie Watkins had a massive spring. But, guys, I'm going to Jackson Harris as one of my breakout players for this LSU offense. You know, I look at Ole Miss. We're talking about this and keeping it in context. Watching Ole Miss a lot last season, my God, did they attack the boundary a lot with Stribling and Wallace and Deuce Alexander. Jackson Harris is going to be that guy along the boundary at 6'3", 100, or 205 pounds. That is long, got great length, he's got a great radius, and it's got a high football IQ. By the way, this dude went to Stanford coming out of high school. Yeah, he's a really smart kid that's really athletic. Jackson Harris is coming off of a season in Hawaii where he had 49 catches, 493 yards with 12 touchdowns, and he led the country in average, or was tied for first in average, at 19.7 yards per catch, per reception. Coming out of an elite spring, and based off of what we saw with Lane at Ole Miss, based off of what we saw with this past playoff team, based off of what we saw with Trey Harris, because they love attacking the boundary. They love getting big, tall receivers the football in space. They love throwing these back shoulder routes. They love setting things up for deep post routes. Jackson Harris is going to need to be someone that you get familiarized with very quickly. We have talked about him a lot. Guys, his football IQ was very high this spring. You know, I can't confirm this because I don't know. I feel that there were a lot of times this past spring where they gave in the red zone Jackson Harris option routes. Regardless of where he's lined up, they gave him option routes on things to do. And in giving them those options, every time that, as an example, that they were in the red zone and he made the right read, you had a very fired up George McDonald, a very fired up Lane Kiffin. And those guys getting fired up when you're in the red zone and you're scoring, based off of before the ball's even caught, they're having that glow in their face like, yes, Jackson, you made the right decision. You made the right call. I don't want to say screw the touchdown and spring in the red zone when you're practicing. But, man, he made the right decisions. And good on him. I think he's going to have a massive year, and I think that he's going to do a lot of really special things here. By the way, I'm going to need to cut this out at 40 minutes. On the week of 4th of July, go! How about the USA just scoring? Go, 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 go! You got to love it. By the way, about Jackson Harris. Did you know that this dude was from Berkeley? Berkeley, California. Yeah, you got to be smart to come from a place like Berkeley. That's all I'm saying. Last but not least, as we wrap this segment up. Guys, Dylan Jones is the young man for me. Another guy for me offensively that I think is going to have a breakout season, knock on wood, barring injury. I know a lot of people are going to tell me, Blake, what about Harlan Berry? I think Harlan Berry is also poised to have a massive year. I do think that you are in a situation with both Dylan Jones and Harlan Berry with that thunder and lightning that you and I have been discussing. I just think that Dylan Jones is going to get the brunt of the carries. I do think that Dylan Jones is going to be that guy that is a bell cow. He is a very physical runner. He is north and south. He has elite vision, and he made massive waves this spring. And Lane Kiffin keeps talking about him every chance he gets, unprompted. You know, we talked about the Tyrann Mathieu podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I don't like pubbing other podcasts. This is an exception because it's Tyrann frickin' Mathieu. Tyrann goes, Coach, who are we not talking about on offense and defense? Without blinking, Lane looks right at Tyrann and says, yeah, it's Dylan Jones. Guys, Harlan Berry is going to be very special. But what Dylan Jones did this spring, the work ethic that he's putting in, the level of physicality that he is bringing to your offense, quite honestly, is something that we have been lacking. I am not saying that Harlan Berry isn't going to be able to do that. I'm not saying that Harlan Berry doesn't have the ability to be a 1,000-yard back, an 800-yard back, an 800-yard receiving back. They're going to use him in a lot of unique ways. This dude's going to be your bell cow. And here's just the truth. You have got to have a physical running game to be worth a damn. To be worth a damn in the SEC, to be worth a damn in college football, you have just got to have the ability to line up, punch someone in the mouth, so what, you're getting 3 yards. Who gives a flying Rudy Pooh? That's all that Dylan Jones did this spring, guys. It's all he did. The vision was elite. The tackling was I thought they weren't really tackling, but getting to the second level and running guys over in scrimmages, getting to the goal line and just taking the ball and saying, I don't give two flying Rudy Poos who you are. I'm going to put my head down and run you over, which in two scrimmages, twice in the red zone, when you got to the 2-yard line, Dylan Jones just puts his head down and runs dudes flat over, and there was just nothing that you could do about it. Yeah, he took everybody by surprise. It should take nobody by surprise. This staff just doesn't miss at that position. They just don't miss. We've talked a lot about the offensive guys. We've talked a lot about a lot of things because there's been a lot to break down in all of this. But those are the four guys I'm going to roll with here. Those are the four guys that, like, look, there are some exceptions. I think Winnie Watkins is going to do good. I think Harlan Berry, Tre'Davious Green. I'm really high on DJ Pickett and Ty Benefield. I just think that when we talk about guys that could be breakout stars, these are the dudes that just the country's not talking about. Nobody on planet Earth. Guys, 2 weeks ago, I'm talking to Cooper Patagna for CBS. For CBS, he is over tracking the portal and scouting the portal. And Coop has been at the University of Alabama. He's been with Dan Lanin at the University of Oregon. Cooper Patagna knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing. And when we're having these long-form discussions, I'm like, Coop, I'm telling you, like, we got to talk about Dylan Jones. We got to talk about Jackson Harris. We got to talk about PJ Woodland. So, yes, there are a lot of guys that I think could do a lot of special things. I just look at these guys. I look at these four that we just discussed and say, yeah, they definitely have the potential to be a breakout. All right, let me get to a quick break. When we come back, we got some recruiting that we need to discuss. Stay with us. Guys, let me tell you about our good friends over at Grand Slam Heating and Air, where your comfort is their top priority. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they promise to provide customers with high-quality HVAC service at an affordable price while ensuring the homeowner peace of mind. From their office to your home, they guarantee the best hassle-free experience around. Efficiency and comfort is their game. Let them make your home Grand Slam today. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they're offering their annual maintenance plan starting off at $18.75 a month and also doing those $99 tune-up promotion. They provide free estimates for system and ductwork replacement as well as offering financing to get the job done with no money up front. From Baton Rouge to Hammond to Covington, they're all around. So what you need to do today?
Give them a call at 225-380-9065. That's 225-380-9065. Or go over to their website, getgrandslamair.com. That's getgrandslamair.com, where your comfort is their top priority. When your business, your farm, or your equipment needs fuel, you need someone that you can trust. At Crump Fuel, they deliver quality gasoline, diesel, and lubricants with honest service and local pride across South Louisiana and South Mississippi. From construction sites, marinas, convenience stores, and trucking companies, all the way down to generators and everyday operations, Crump Fuel keeps you rolling. Crump Fuel is family-owned and family-operated. With high-quality and dependable delivery, they're always going to bring that competitive pricing. Call Crump Fuel today at 985-229-4976 or visit them over at crumpfuel.com. That's 985-229-4976 or visit them at crumpfuel.com today. Crump Fuel, where they're fueling the Gulf South in the right way. Guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over the Drake Williams Law Firm, drakewilliamslawfirm.com. If you've been injured in a car wreck or have questions about a personal injury claim, call the Drake Williams Law Firm today. Ernie Drake and Ryan Williams represent injury victims all across the great state of Louisiana. Serving Louisiana families since 1981, whether you're in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Shreveport, or the great parish of Tangipahoa, the Drake Williams Law Firm is ready to help. With local roots and statewide representation, give them a call right now. 985-386-7600. That's 985-386-7600. And when you do, you will get a free consultation. The Drake Williams Law Firm, where they've been serving Louisiana families since 1981.
We're back!
So, Jay Johnson and Nate Yeske got some really good news as it has gone public. Caden Smith, the right-handed pitcher, formerly of TCU and South Florida, has committed to LSU. I'm posting this on our socials right now. We probably should have all gone to a different, another commercial. But we didn't. Hold on. I'm posting this on socials. All right, there we go. So, LSU, since we're talking about recruiting, LSU does add a right-handed arm in Caden Smith. Last season at a 4.24 ERA for South Florida in 16 games pitched, eight of those games being starts. He threw 46 and two-thirds innings, allowing 41 hits while only walking 25 and having 52 strikeouts. You're going and adding an arm that, quite frankly, well, this is his third team in 3 years for what it's worth. He was at TCU as a freshman and threw in 14 games and only 12 innings there. And then last year went 4-3 versus South Florida, started eight games with 46 and two-thirds innings pitched. Look, you needed some arms. You needed some high-quality arms. Guys that have been there, obviously they have seen something in Caden Smith to bring him in. A 20-year-old right-handed pitcher from Ocala, Florida, is going to be a new add in addition for you. Look, we have seen some of these guys, whether good or bad, that have come from lower divisions. This kid, this young man, actually coming from, you know, TCU and then going to South Florida and coming back. But you need guys that you think have some high-quality arms. Now, I do like the fact – let me get to this. I do like the fact that you are adding a guy that does have eight starts underneath his belt. He's got some experience. He's got some skins on the wall in some of those. I don't have all of the specific stats in front of me from what he did from his starts this season. We will definitely have that for you more tomorrow. But LSU does get a commitment from Caden Smith, a right-handed pitcher from South Florida. And so they do add an arm. Maybe not the arms that you were anticipating, but nevertheless, they do add an arm here. I was not planning on talking about baseball today. Now with the portal being closed, you know, I am glad that the portal's closed. Like, the guys that you have right now are the guys that you have. Thank God that that portal's closed, because you never know what teams and people and players are going to do when you get into situations. Just quite frankly and quite bluntly, you never know what money is going to do to people. I'm glad that we sit in a situation right now where that thing is closed. So, really good situation there. You do have a right-handed arm in Caden Smith. Hopefully, he pans out for the absolute best here. Speaking about recruiting, before we get out of here, so Jaden Anding was supposed to be committing today. He's going to push it back. Look, Frank Wilson, you know, he had to make a move. He can't lose two recruits to his former team. I still think LSU sits in a good spot. Ole Miss is trying to make some moves here because, of course, they are. I don't think that we should overreact to this. Now, he did not commit today, and last night we did talk about Davion Jones. Last night when you and I spoke, Davion Jones was a heavy LSU lean. This morning we make up. South Carolina makes a pretty big move. Josh Dobson, his teammate, also today committed to South Carolina. They spent a hefty penny to get the very talented North Carolina prospect. Good on them. I have a very strong inkling that they very well may do that again. And Davion Jones. We will see. Does LSU make a final push going into this at the end of all of it? Maybe. But if Davion Jones does wind up committing to South Carolina, I do look at a situation where I say, well, that puts a lot of your focus on Jaden Anding, doesn't it? For Ole Miss's sake, I think they better hope that Davion Jones commits to LSU tomorrow. Because then all of your focus turns on Jaden Anding. Not that your focus had been elsewhere. So it is what it is there. I do still anticipate for LSU to get Greedy James. All signs point there. Brennan Sherrard today committed to Texas. I think you can put two and two together as to why. And I think LSU has done a really good job in that recruitment. In reference to, you know, some of those other things that are going on in recruiting, in reference to Easton Royal, in reference to Jalen Brewster, guys, nothing new came up today that we haven't discussed. I have been told that there are people running the money numbers out there, and that's why a lot of these conversations are happening for Brewster and Easton Royal. Yeah, with all due respect, no shit. About a month ago, you and I came out here and discussed that there was a report out there that came out saying that LSU plans on making Easton Royal the highest paid wide receiver in college football. At no point was that true then. And it still remained the same as some of these reports started surfacing of discussions happened with Easton Royal about him potentially making $1 million to $1.5 million. Yeah, no. You have a situation right now where the number one receiver in the country, and Jeremiah Smith's probably going to make around $5 million, and Malachi Toney's probably going to make $3.5 to $4 million. That, guys, that's where things sit. So, no, they did. He's not. Easton Royal will not be the highest paid wide receiver in the country going into next year. Is seven figures about right? 1.5 about right for the number one wide receiver in coming out of high school? Yeah. Guys, I mean, baseline dudes with TV rev share and NIL is going to be anywhere between $400,000 to $450,000 a year. You better get used to it, guys. I got sent a lot of this stuff today via DM about, Blake, do you think the number of Easton Royal at $1.5 million is true? You're damn right. And I do think LSU would pay it. Same question goes for the $1 million to $1.5 to $2 million for Jalen Brewster. You're damn right that I would get pretty damn close to it. And you know what I'm also doing? I'm also going to Lamar Brown and saying, hey, listen, I'm going up to Richard Anderson saying, hey, listen, the market is shifting. We're going to give you yours too. When this is done and we have the ability to give you yours, we're going to do that too. The market is ever shifting. Guys, it is ever shifting. You had to pay a pretty penny to keep on Lamar Brown and Richard Anderson. You know, I will just say, Richard Anderson did not come cheap. You think Lamar Brown comes cheap? People don't like having those conversations. It's the world that we live in. And without a blink of an eye, I would pay Eastern Royal that money. I would be a little bit cautious because I would tell, like, if you're going to make that move, I would tell others if they have questions, yeah, we're going to get you there, brother. Market is ever changing. We can't dictate the market value. And I think that they'll do it. You're going to dominate along the defensive line regardless. Because LSU is going to do what they need to do here. It's going to be up to those young men to decide to stay or flip. I do believe if everything is we've been discussing for those two, what happens when money becomes even? And LSU is showing you that. Do you stress the ever-living manure out of Texas? Do you stretch the ever-living manure out of Texas Tech? Maybe. Because this stuff, here's the real truth. It seems as if all this news is coming from the LSU side of things. It's not. It really isn't. Now, there are some with the Eastern Royal thing who are pushing false narratives. That is what it is. He's going to continue to do it. But this becomes a Texas thing. Is LSU really going to spend this money? You're god dang right they are. So you better get used to it. And for Eastern Royal, for sure, I would pay it. So we'll see. We'll see. All right. Oh, good googly moogly. We have some super chats here before we get out here. We do. Zeus with a $2 super chat says, I'm late to the party. The Dale is in the house. Good to have you in here with us. Good to have you with us. Stephen Young says, was Ross double teamed at Tennessee? I'm sure he was at some point. I'd have to go back and look. Princeville was definitely was a lot. You go and watch, Stephen, those the Miami game. Like, they chipped him with a tight end a lot. The one time that the tight end missed the chip, he got a sack. So many teams, Oklahoma, Georgia, the second time. Guys, Georgia kept putting their tight end on the side of Princeville. Go back and watch it. They keep – Oscar Delp, who's now a Saints tight end, keeps following number one. Go back and look at it. And that made Cam Franklin go off. And I think that is going to continue to – that's going to propel a guy like Jordan Ross to go off too. Dylan Quaid gifted 10 AYS Sports memberships on the YouTube channel. Thank you so much. We will put up some content then tomorrow. So 10 of you, I can't choose who this is. But 10 of you will be getting memberships. YouTube just randomly selects the people that get those. I don't get that choice. So how about this? In the comments for tomorrow's AYS members only content, tell me in the chat right now, what do y'all want us to discuss? Members, what do y'all want us to discuss? And we will do that. Donovan Hardison became a member on the YouTube channel as well. Thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it. Dylan, thank you so much for gifting those. Very, 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 very much appreciate you doing that. Official AD says, hey now. Steven says, give that money to Naraki. I think the only reason that the Rocky hit at the combine was because a team wants him and they asked him to. By the way, Y'all see Jake Brown keeps climbing up these boards, right? Top 40 now, or top 42. Steven Young says baseball needs left-handed pitcher in the Rocky more than they need mid right-handed pitching. Use the money wisely. Yeah, I don't know if Naraki is going to make it here. Now, speaking of that, Logan Schmidt's thing is a little bit interesting. I don't think Logan Schmidt had a very good combine experience. And not having a really good combine experience, you have people with deep ties like Baseball America coming out and reporting that there is even a chance that Logan Schmidt could fall out of the first round because, guys, I'm just going to tell you, there's one story that I was told that Logan Schmidt basically was telling some teams some crazy stuff and was like, yeah, bro, what are y'all talking about? Like, meaning him. Yeah, I ain't dealing with that. And I don't know. I think that there's going to be a team on Logan Schmidt, even with some of the attitude. They're going to be like, yeah, we'll work on his attitude. There is a chance. He would probably be the highest rated dude that you've ever gotten on campus if that happened. Somebody going to pay him some money, though, I think. But I do think Naraki hitting at the combine and hitting the way that he did, somebody asked him to do that. He didn't do that shit on his own. So, yeah. Deep dive on Brewster, intel on Brewster. Okay, we can do that. Do you think Logan makes it to college? I don't know. I don't know. He would be the one that I would, at the current moment, be like, what's going on versus Jake Brown? I think people need to start turning the page on that, personally. They been needed to turn the page. This 5-for-5 thing, I mean, do I think it can affect college baseball from rounds 4 to the end of it? Yes. Do I think it affects guys in the first 3 rounds? Not a chance. Not a chance. It affects a Steven Milam. It doesn't affect a Jake Brown. It could potentially affect a Beano Waters, not a Jake Brown. And I think Beano's going to go in the top 20 next year. That's what I think, even with a stack draft. DJ says, does Durham see the field this year? I don't know. It is Dylan Jones and Harlan Berry. Like, those are your dudes. You know, we're not talking a lot about Harlan Berry. I think Harlan's going to have a special year, man. I think Harlan Berry is 1,000% bona fide ready to have a breakout year himself. You know, I do think that Lane's going to be very unique with him. They should be very unique with him. Now, he's got to hold on to that football. Hold on to that ball, Petey. He's got to hold on to that football. Guys, Harlan Berry's a special player. He is a special, special player. He's not that bell cow back. I am so interested. Like, I am so interested to see what Charlie Weiss Jr. does with Trey Des Green and Harlan Berry. Two former 5-star guys, two just Louisiana freaks of nature. What happens? I just think Dylan Jones also needs to be a part of that conversation. I don't know if I look, they've rotated backs. Like, Logan Diggs played a lot. Kevin Smith likes bigger backs. I got to be completely real with you. I don't know if Stacy or maybe some of these other portal backs they brought in. Like, I have this up on my up from today. Let me pull this back up. Like, as an example, I'm not 1,000% sure. Hold on. I hit the wrong thing. Before we get out of here, hold on. I have absolutely no idea what's going on. Because I had this for next week when we were going to talk about something. Let's see. Bear with me. This is horrible podcasting. Horrible, horrible, horrible podcasting. Because I was going through spring notes today. Hey, ho. I don't know if Stacey Gage doesn't even beat out Kane Durham. I don't know if Gainey was all right. Stacey Gage, y'all. Stacey Gage had a pretty I thought Stacey Gage from Central Florida, UCF. I thought Stacey Gage had a better spring than Kane Durham did by a long shot. Because I was going through some spring stuff today. I don't know, man. I don't know. We shall see. I talk about a hot take. That's a hot take for y'all's ass. Actually, that's not even opinion. Stacey Gage had a better spring camp than Caden did. Stacey Gage was running that rock. Like, there were a lot of times Stacey would take an inside dive and, like, run over a dude and go for 13. With the second unit, like, Tylan Singleton does not want to see Stacey Gage again. I promise you. Stacey Gage was... Caden's got to get better vision, bro. He ain't got no vision. Ray Charles saw holes bigger than him. Anyway, last one. Fran says, Blake, can you talk about how Frank did these running backs no justice, Jackson and Jerome? Jerome who? Who are pretty talented but regrets. You probably mean not Jerome. Not Jerome. Who are you talking about there, Fran? Regardless, are pretty talented, but you're talking about Jakeem Johnson. Or, yeah. No, not Jakeem. God bless it. He was number 8. Jawan Johnson. Pretty talented, but regrets so bad they were only good running backs for like G5. I just don't think Frank's a good I just don't think Frank did good at all. He didn't develop talent, you know? Disgusting. All right. See y'all members only content tomorrow. Peace.